This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 26th, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 458. On this edition, the FIFA World Cup is over. It was a big, expensive party for Vancouver, Toronto, and 14 other cities. Montreal was not one of them, mainly because of what happened 50 years ago. My guest is Terry Mosher, the editorial cartoonist known as Aislinn, and author of Aislinn's 1976 Montreal Olympic scrapbook, Jean Drapeau's Baby. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. FIFA World Cup 2026 is over. Vancouver and Toronto were among the 16 host cities. And the questions will persist for weeks, months, maybe years. How much did it cost? Was it worth it? It's a question we still ask here in Vancouver, 40 years after Expo 86 and 16 years after the 2010 Winter Olympics. 2026 is also the 50th anniversary of the 1976 Summer Olympics in Montreal. Joining me to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the summer of 1976 in Montreal is Terry Mosher. You might know him better by his pen name, Aislinn, the Montreal Gazette editorial cartoonist. He's an Order of Canada member, and he was the youngest inductee into the Canadian News Hall of Fame back in 1985 at age 43. Terry Mosher's new book is called Aislinn's 1976 Montreal Olympic Scrapbook, Jean Drapeau's Baby. On the cover is a cartoon from 1974 of a pregnant Montreal mayor, Jean Drapeau. And welcome to the podcast, Terry. You tell us the story of Jean Drapeau, the cartoon, and one of the most famous quotes in Canadian political history.
Yeah, he said at one point, I doubt that you'll remember, but there was sort of a great lead up to the Olympics, and the costs, estimates of the cost kept growing and growing and growing. And in 74, he tried to reassure everybody with an unusual statement. Henry Morgenthaler was a prominent abortionist in the news at the time, a groundbreaking individual who began performing abortions sort of illegally, but nevertheless a hero to many women at the time. Anyway, Jean Drapeau, trying to reassure everybody that the Olympics would be okay financially, said at one point, "The Olympics can no more have a deficit than a man can have a baby." It seemed like a natural to me. So I drew him pregnant, very pregnant, on the phone to Henry Morgenthaler, theoretically looking for an abortion right after that statement. Well, it hit the Gazette at first refused to print it. Excuse me. They said it was too, but then the sports editor saw me grumbling about this and he said, "That's sports related, I'll print it." So this best known caricature ever of Jean Drapeau first appeared on the sports pages of the Montreal Gazette. Quite amusing. He didn't like the cartoon. Needless to say, Jean Drapeau didn't like the cartoon much.
Yeah, what kind of mayor was he? I mean, making that quip, that kind of is his epitaph in so many ways, but what was he like?
I don't think he realized that at the time. I think he was trying to be smart or something about, you know, don't worry about this. It's unheard of that this will happen. What kind of mayor was he? He was a brilliant mayor, and up until the Olympics, remember, he had been groundbreaking, putting Montreal on the map, starting out with his second election in 1960. He immediately promised a metro, meaning a subway for Montreal, and he completed it within several years. Then after that, there was a great Place des Arts, an art center that they still use today, I think, for comedy festivals, all kinds of things, a magnificent thing. Then other great things that he established, he was walking on water. He couldn't make any mistakes. Then best of all, he had Expo 67, a world's fair where 50 million people from around the world showed up. Shortly after that, he announced that Montreal had a Major League Baseball team. So he could do no wrong up until the Olympics. And when that was announced in 1970, everybody was excited again. My God, isn't Jean Drapeau great? He's put us on the international stage. People love Montreal. But things began to happen. Financial questions began to arise. Deadlines weren't being met. He was a great dreamer, and he could get things done, but he wasn't the best organizer or financial mind in the world. And so things just began to escalate. And let me say this, the Olympics actually happened. It shocked everybody. He somehow managed to do it, bringing in different governments. They actually happened. And the Olympics themselves were wonderful. I attended doing sketches for the Montreal Gazette. They wanted me to look for the unusual stuff. So I did all kinds of sketches of tall basketball players trying to get on a bus and Germans clearly under the influence of certain drugs and all sorts of things. And it was great. The Olympics themselves were great. It was the aftermath that really turned Montreal into less the city that he wanted it to be.
Yeah, I've covered the Beijing and London and Rio Summer Olympics, as well as the Vancouver and Turin Winter Olympics. And I don't recall bumping into any editorial cartoonists, but that's a smart idea to have an editorial cartoonist on the ground to capture those images and bring that sensibility to readers. What was your favorite image or images, your favorite memories of these Olympics? These were the Olympics that were defined in many ways by gymnast Nadia Comăneci from Romania and her perfect scores. There was decathlete Bruce Jenner of the U.S. There were also some lighter-hearted moments. There was that streaker at the closing ceremony.
Yeah, that was the highlight for me. And thankfully, a great photographer we had at the time, Lynn, it'll come to me in a minute, Lynn Ball. And he got a photo of the streaker running through. And I loved that moment because it was the final ceremony. Women in wonderful dresses were circling, forming the Olympic circles, a great and grand spectacle. And suddenly this naked man runs out and starts his dancing around with them. And it was just terrific. And later they asked him, they said, it was so Montreal. They had said to him, was this a political process or something? And he said, no, I have a beautiful body and I wanted to show it off to the world. How Montreal is that, you know? And it was, so it ended on a festive note, but very rapidly after that, things began to crumble in terms of what had to be the aftermath.
It's a bit of a disappointing Olympics for Canada. We're still left with the image of Greg Joy, the Vancouverite, the high jumper, and his high jump for joy, but he didn't win a gold medal. This was actually the first time in Summer Olympics history that the host country didn't win a gold medal.
And that's right. We weren't. I'm hazarding a guess here. We weren't so Olympic conscious. But we became so because of the Montreal Olympics, and governments began to pour money into programs, and we became better and better. We didn't attend Moscow. We attended LA. It wasn't really starting then, but we began to really perform well in track and field and swimming. So I think that's a result of the Montreal Olympics doing poorly. We weren't expected to do that all that well, really. So that was a benefit of the Olympics.
Yeah, it added extra impetus for Vancouver to showcase Canada and for Canadian athletes and teams to excel in Vancouver at the 2010 Winter Olympics, because there was also no gold medal won at Calgary 1988. So Vancouver eventually had 14 gold medalists.
That's right. It really, really began to happen with Vancouver. One thing about Calgary, the Calgary Olympics, is that they didn't lose any money, which was historic. And, you know, they had to be congratulated for that, because they're pulling that thing together and paying for it. Western know-how, I suppose.
Yeah, they had a legacy fund and reinvested it, and still some of those Olympic venues in Calgary are still operating because of the money left over. here in Vancouver.
The way it's supposed to be, when you think about it, that's the way it's supposed to be. But the Montreal Olympics, the deficit on that was totally embarrassing. And here's the thing, we're still paying for it today. They claim, oh, we paid off the debt. We paid off the debt, but we hadn't paid the astronomical repair bill for the Olympic Stadium. Believe it or not, we're putting close to another $2 billion even today into the repairs of that decrepit old Olympic Stadium that wasn't very well built.
Nick Ostermaier's book, The Billion Dollar Game, how the 1976 Olympics really all went wrong in so many different ways, including the stadium. There was also the British press, which labeled the Montreal Olympics the Mafia Olympics. Organized crime was there in the shadows. It really did leave a sour taste in many Canadians' mouths. And as you say, the Olympic Stadium is under renovation again. This is a stadium which had that amazing, beautiful design. It was supposed to be this engineering marvel with a retractable roof, a roof that really never worked.
I closed my book, actually, with how the Olympic Stadium for cartoonists, and there's still a lot of cartoonists working on Montreal, unlike other cities, there's still five or six of us around, has turned into a meme almost, to the Olympic Stadium. I don't know what I'm going to draw today, so I'll draw the Olympic Stadium with a traffic cone coming out of it or that sort of. So there's a wonderful selection of cartoons over the years, closing the book, on the Olympic Stadium and it'd be primarily negative about the whole operation. That could be a whole program for you just on the Olympic Stadium itself, because initially we were very excited about the design, but the architect from France knew nothing about baseball, knew nothing about any other sports, and he figured that this would serve purposes, football. It didn't. It was a disaster for baseball because of the shape. Part of the reason the Expos, there are many reasons, I've done a book on that, but part of the reason the Expos folded up and left town was because of the dramatic problems with the Olympic Stadium. I should like another make another point too. Jean Drapeau, I love the guy, but like most people, I love the guy, but there are aspects about him that that didn't work at all. Mind you, the cartoonist benefited from that greatly in drawing him over the next few years. But the Olympics were the high point of Montreal. Those 50 years ago, this next week, it was the high point for Montreal in terms of international esteem. The Queen came, all kinds of other, celebrities came to the Olympic Games. It was the high point because shortly after that, keep in mind, just a few months after that, the first Parti Québécois election was won by René Lévesque. And so conservative people like Major League Baseball said, what the hell is going on? Are they electing terrorists in Quebec? I mean, they have no finesse in terms of understanding of the importance of French language and so on. And their direction and many other companies began to shift. And the next year, the Toronto Maple Leafs got a baseball franchise. The next year, partly because of the exodus of Anglophones from Montreal, the next year, Toronto became the largest city in Canada. And although Montreal is a wonderful city, I loved it here and I'll never leave, but its reputation began to dwindle. And perhaps the best example of that is just recently, the World Cup. We couldn't afford to host the World Cup. And the mayor openly said that we can't afford to do this. So still repercussions in a way from the Olympic Games, in that we're the highest tax people in North America.
Before, during, and after the Olympics 1976 into the 1980s, that was quite a time to be covering politics, especially as an editorial cartoonist. You had Premier René Lévesque, you had the separatist movement, the referendums. Yeah, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, then eventually Brian Mulroney, then Jean Chrétien. And then more recently, you've got some cartoons of former Montreal Mayor Denis Coderre. He looks kind of like Fred Flintstone in one of those cartoons pictured with.
He asked me once, he said, "Why do you draw me like Fred Flintstone?" I said, "Because you look like him."
And those famous orange and white Montreal traffic cones, always out there in the streets. There always seems to be a street under reconstruction in Montreal. You've also written a book, From Trudeau to Trudeau, looking back at 50 years of your career.
It was 50 years of me cartooning. I had started in 1967. So in 2017, I said, let's put a book of my best cartoons of the last 50 years. We did. And in the back of my mind, I said, okay, it's time to retire. 50 years is kind of enough. But then, who came along but Donald Trump? So I said to my paper, I want to keep going for a couple of years. And they said, yeah, by all means. And then what came along? COVID. And so all of these things just kept falling into my lap. And Montreal's that kind of city. It's the it may not be the largest city in Canada, but it's certainly the most interesting in terms of political communication, in terms of entertainment, too. We're still very good in terms of jazz festivals and comedy festivals. It's a fun place to be. And also, it's a more livable city in the sense that houses cost less.
Oh, yeah.
So I love it here. And I love the shenanigans, because the shenanigans pay dividends to any cartoonist working here. Also a great sense of humor. I worked in Toronto for a few years, and the sense of humor there was not so vibrant, if you will. It was not, and so I came home, you know.
You talked about Donald Trump giving your career a second wind as you're looking to retire, but now we got Mark Carney, who's not quite as humorous.
Not yet.
Vicious.
Not yet. Mulroney became one of my favorite targets because I knew the guy and the conservatives and free trade and that sort of thing. But for the first 2 years of Mulroney's reign, I hardly do anything. Everybody loved him for a little while. Carney is reminding me of that. Everybody's loving him because of the dilemma with the United States. Well, maybe not a few people, but he's a very intelligent guy and has a certain amount of charisma in his own way, particularly in comparison to Trump. But something will happen. Something will start to happen. It happens to all the prime ministers we've ever had. The honeymoon is not over, but it will be. And that's when we'll start to look very carefully at his bald spot, at the odd connection of his neck, and his almost arrogant little smile there. So we'll be working on him. I promise you. It's a promise to you.
Well, I wonder if it's happening in real time as we speak right now, because this whole controversy over the renegotiated deal with the U.S. over the Gordie Howe Bridge, Mr. Hockey, Mr. Elbows Up Hockey, and Mark Carney is the Mr. Elbows Up politician. So there's a little bit of humor in that. And got to wonder if they're coming apart right now.
There might be people out west who resent me saying this, but the fact of the matter is that Poiliev is virtually unelectable. He can't, and he seems so angry to everybody in a time where we need calm, deliberate Canadianness, elbows up. We need that sort of thing now.
It wouldn't be complete an interview with you to talk about the Montreal Expos, Montreal Canadiens, who have also figured heavily in your cartoons over the years. Will the Expos return to Montreal before the Canadiens win their 25th Stanley Cup? Which will happen first?
Well, can I back up on that a little bit?
Sure.
You mentioned a couple of things. 1967, when I started cartooning, I wanted to be a sports cartoonist. And I went to see them at Saturday Night Magazine, which is a very popular, good, well-thought-of magazine at the time. And the art director said, "We don't really do much on sports. Could you do caricatures of Lyndon Johnson?" I said, "Right, he's the president of the United States, right?" I knew nothing about politics. And the art director, and I want to thank him for this, said, "Don't worry about it. It's not necessary. Just watch. And when a politician does something stupid, draw him to something stupid." I've been doing that ever since. And here I am, the longest working cartoonist in North America, having taking that editor's advice. Now, getting to specific, yes, I'm an Expos fan. I did Expos sketchbooks all during their reign because the editors were smart enough to send me to spring training and do sketchbooks and so on. And I got to know a lot of them. So I did a book on it a few years ago. And the Habs, yeah, I'm a lifetime Habs fan. But when they're wrong and when they're bad, I mean, I draw as much, and the owners know that. So I'm very optimistic. I don't know if it's going to be next year, but they've got a very good young team that's cohesive. They all get along. I would say that the Habs will, if your staggering question, the Habs will win a Stanley Cup before the Expos return. And I'm not too hopeful about the Expos, although we deserve a team because we're the largest city in North America without a baseball team. But those American, anyway, that's, I answered your question, I think.
There is some competition out here in Vancouver. A group popped up a few months ago looking to put in a bid for an expansion team for Major League Baseball, and they've got an eye on a site in downtown for a possible stadium. We'll see if that comes together. It seems rather speculative at this point, but there's a lot of people in the community who added their name to a petition that was published as an advertisement in the Vancouver Sun recently.
Les Canadiens are doing it the right way. They're paying new, young, extremely talented people, getting them onto sort of 4 or 5 year contracts at a reasonable price. Under the circumstances, I think they're doing it the right way. I congratulate the current ownership. But I think that would come first. But who knows? Who knows? You know, Vancouver, you got Brendan Gallagher, one of the most popular hockey players ever. I think he would help you in terms of spirit. He's an enthusiastic guy, and he gets into the corners. Well, I should say right in front of the net and mixes it up with these big guys. Delightful to watch. So have fun watching him. And good luck with getting a baseball team, because I love baseball. And the more we have in Canada, the better. But there's still some resentment about the Toronto Blue Jays, because when there was a chance for them to vote in favor of helping Montreal, they passed. And we've never forgotten that.
Well, thanks again for joining me on the Breaker.News podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks. Thanks for taking me back.
Oh, thank you. Terry Mosher's new book is called Aislinn's 1976 Montreal Olympic Scrapbook, Jean Drapeau's Baby. A real national treasure, and honored to have you on the Breaker.News podcast.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thanks very much.
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Bookmark thebreaker.news and thebreaker.ca. Follow on social media. We're on X, Threads, and Blue Sky. Follow the YouTube channel for The Breaker videos. And sign up for the free email newsletter, bobmackin.substack.com. Become a paid subscriber, get early access to podcasts. Thanks again, and until next week.